and song.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the grace and peace of the risen Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. For 40 days, we have been before the Lord in fasting and prayer and repentance. We have been through the miracle of Holy Thursday. We have been through the great trial and tribulation of Good Friday. And now we are here at the great feast of the Christian people, where Christians throughout the world gather together to rejoice because our Savior Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death. The devil gave him his best shot, and he swallowed up death as a sign to us that we too will rise with him. When we turn to him with faith, when we follow him with all of our hearts. And now, as always, we begin this liturgy acknowledging to the Lord that we haven't always done that. That even as we gather to rejoice, we are aware of where we have fallen short. So we turn to him, ask for his patience and mercy and his help. And his help to make our own the salvation he has given us by sincere repentance. Jesus, you have borne our sins, and by your stripes we are healed. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, you have conquered sin and death. Christ, have mercy. Holy Spirit, enkindle in us this fire of God's love. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Let us pray. God, our Father, by raising Christ, your Son, you conquered the power of death and opened for us the way to eternal life. Let our celebration today raise us up and renew our lives by the Spirit that is within us. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Oh, tell the Lord how thankful you are for love which lasts forever. Let the house of Israel shout, God's mercy will last forever.
Thank you.
reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for our Easter sequence. Christians, to the Paschal victim, offer your thankful praises. A lamb, a sheep redeems Christ, who only is sinless, reconciles sinners to the Father. Death and life have contended in that combat stupendous. The Prince of Life, who died, reigns immortal. Speak, Mary, declaring what you saw wayfaring. The tomb of Christ, who is living, the glory of Jesus' resurrection. Bright angels attesting, the shroud and napkin resting. Yes, Christ, my hope is arisen. To Galilee he goes before you. Christ indeed from death is risen, our new life obtaining. Have mercy, Victor King, ever reigning. Amen. Alleluia.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. And they did not yet understand the scripture, that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. What's that wonderful church word we're not supposed to say during the 40 days?
Hallelujah.
Can you tell me that again?
Hallelujah.
It's okay now. We can just go ahead and say it again.
Hallelujah.
Now, your line is written up there. That's the response that you're going to make. Is it big enough for you? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Indeed.
He is risen just like he said he would.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
Death has no power over him.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
The Lamb that was slain is alive.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
He has conquered sin and death.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
Glory and honor and power belong to him.
Indeed, he is risen.
How long is this guy going to go? I'm not done yet. This is the great day of our salvation.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
If we die with him, we will rise with him.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen just like he said he would.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
This is from an ancient sermon from one of the patriarchs of Constantinople, Saint Proclus. And I'm sure we know all about Saint Proclus. If you do, tell me. Glorious is our Passover feast, and truly splendid is this great assembly of the Christian people. And with this holy mystery are contained things both old and new. The celebration of this week and the great joy we experience is shared by a great multitude that not alone do men and women on earth rejoice, but even the powers of heaven are united with us in a joyful celebration of Christ's resurrection. For now the angels and the hosts of archangels also, the angels also keep this holiday and stand waiting for the triumphant return from earth of Christ our Lord, who is King of heaven and King of earth. And likewise, the multitude of the blessed rejoice, proclaiming the Christ who was begotten from the beginning of time. The earth rejoices, now washed by divine blood. The sea rejoices, honored as it was by his feet upon the waters. And even more, let each soul rejoice who was born again of water and the Spirit. And taking a paraphrase from Martin Luther King, we are free at last from the ancient curse. We are free at last. Great God Almighty, we're free at last. Easter is the great celebration of what God has done to save us. This is the good news that God loves us more than we ever loved him. Christ died for sinners, but death couldn't keep him down. The power of the resurrection is God's celestial dynamite against all that ails us. This is the great feast of Easter. But you can't get to Easter without going through Holy Thursday. Do you know about Holy Thursday? This is my body. This is my blood. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I don't even know the man, Peter said. This is my body. Look what miracles the Lord did with common bread. God uses the ordinary stuff of our lives, and look what he does with it. He transforms it. Did I ever tell you about the time I was arrested? I was caught shoplifting in high school. My parents had to come and pick me up from the store. Later, the police came to my house and arrested me. In front of all the neighbors, I had to go to court. I was humiliated. I promised God I'd never do it again. Have you done that? Were you better at keeping your promise than I was? I didn't keep that promise. I didn't learn my lesson. When I worked for Dow Chemical, I grew up in Midland, I falsified time cards and took home a lot of office supplies. I didn't learn my lesson. I was the thief. What good can God bring out of this? Well, let me tell you. A few years later, after I had met the risen Lord Jesus, after God had begun the long process of changing my life, I knew I had to take responsibility for what I had done. I did a lot of fasting and praying. I saved up money. I was going to go back to all the places that I had done wrong. I broke out in a sweat. I dreaded that day. I don't think I slept very much the night before. So I went back first to Dow Chemical. I worked there for a couple of years. I went back to my old boss and said, I did some things I shouldn't have done. I'm here to tell you I'm sorry and I shouldn't have done it. He says, why are you doing this? I said, because God worked in my life. And then I gave him a check and he says, what's this? I said, well, I'm making restitution. He goes, I can't take that. And I says, you have to. I'm not touching it again. He goes, oh my goodness, we have to go to his boss. So we went to his boss. You're doing what? What happened to you? You're giving it back? So we went to his boss. And his boss said, why are you doing this? What happened to you? Do you think I told him? I said I had met God. I said Jesus had changed my life. I said I wasn't doing those things anymore. He says, my goodness. So we went to his boss. We had to go to another building, Dow Corporate Headquarters. We're talking to one of the members of the board of directors. We're two offices away from the president of the company. And this corporate officer with a law degree and a PhD says, who can stand up to this light? He said, how can I experience what God did in your life? He said, do you know of any place in Midland I can go to experience what you experienced? And then we called his boss. Darn it. He wasn't in. We would have gone to the president. I was on a roll. As I was leaving, we had to go back to the original place. My boss turns to me, takes my hand and says, "Thank you for the most meaningful day of my life." I said to myself, I don't think I heard him right. But I did hear him right. That's what he said. I went to the store that I'd been caught shoplifting from. They'd gone out of business. I hope not because of anything I'd directly done. I gave that money to charity. I went to the golf course that we had snuck on countless times with my friends. I was bringing checks, restituting all of this. And they said, "Oh my goodness." A couple of days later, I got a citation from the city of Midland for honesty. I went to the restaurant. We were high school kids. We often walked out without paying. I'm not proud of this, folks. It was wrong. I went there and said, "Gosh, we used to do this all the time." And he says, "People do it all the time." He says, "Nobody's ever come back." He says, "What happened to you? How can I experience this in my life?" He says, I've been having problems. I've been trying to pray." And he started confessing his sins to me. And I wasn't a priest. I was a dude like you. I went into that day afraid that people would be disappointed and angry, and maybe they'd even call the police. All I did was tell people what Jesus had done in my life. I was admitting I was a sinner. And God takes the stuff of our lives and look what he does to transform it. Some of you know he's done this stuff with your life. He can do it with all of us. Our gifts, our successes, our failures, our sins. He can bring good out of it all. He can transform it with his grace. It can be part of a larger plan. But we have to give it to him. We can't get to Easter without the transforming grace of Holy Thursday. This is the great feast of the resurrection. But have you been through Good Friday? The whips, the crown, the nails, the agonized breathing, the taunting mockery. 3 hours of agony. Why do we retell this story? Why do we remember it year after year? Why do we meditate on it? Because we get off on pain? Because we're masochists? No. It's because if we see clearly the suffering that Jesus has endured, we can know with faith that the suffering in our lives, the disappointments, the heartbreak, the sins, the confusion, the fear, have meaning and purpose. That God can work with the soul that has given their lives to him to bring good out of these things. That God has a plan. And if we yield to him, he will show forth his might and his glory. In the midst of all that suffering, as much of him as he might have thought otherwise, Jesus was not abandoned. Jesus was not alone. And it wasn't all for nothing. But good came out of it because he had surrendered his will to the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. Have you done that? Have you surrendered your will to the Father? You can't know the joy of Easter if you don't know the struggle of the Garden of Gethsemane. There's no resurrection without the crucifixion. If anyone would come after me, Jesus says, he must deny himself and pick up his cross daily and follow me. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The great joy of Easter is knowing the one who rose from the dead, knowing the one who changes our lives, knowing the one who makes wrong things right, knowing the one who turns sorrow into joy, knowing the one who blesses us with joy and hope and freedom that even Bill Gates can't buy. You can have what the richest man in the world cannot buy. Free, but not cheap. You can know the joy and the freedom and the hope that even Bill Gates can't buy. But not if we're playing a con. Not if we're fooling ourselves and trying to fool God too. Not if we don't do what he says. Not if we don't obey. Not if we don't sincerely repent when we fail and bear the fruits that befit repentance. Otherwise, all we're doing is the spiritual equivalent of lip syncing. We're just faking it. There was a time in my life where I didn't even bother to fake it. I didn't go to church. I retell every Easter, that one spring break when I was in college and I was on the beach at Fort Lauderdale and I heard over the radio right there on the beach, and believe me, we weren't saying the rosary or witnessing, right there on the beach, that it was Easter Sunday. And I didn't even know it was Easter Sunday. And much to my surprise, I had to admit to myself I didn't care that it was Easter Sunday. What happened? I know when it's Easter now. What happened was I met the risen Lord Jesus. I met Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. It's not an idea. It's not a theory. It's not a principle. It's a person. And how did I do that? How did I meet the risen Lord Jesus? There's a lot of ways to answer that question, but I will tell you this. I didn't know the joy and the power of the risen Lord Jesus until I had done the work of Holy Thursday and Good Friday. I had to struggle with trusting God. It was scary. What if he wasn't there? What if it didn't work? What if it wasn't any fun? What if I couldn't do all the stuff I like to do? I had to give him the stuff of my life, such that it was, so he could do his transforming work. And that's what we're here to do. Whatever we have, to give it to God. We ask for the courage to be ruthlessly honest with God. To bear our lives. Because only the fullness of the truth will set us free. But great God Almighty, free indeed we can be when we do that. Oh, what joy awaits the saints in light. I promise you this, because of the realities we celebrate here today, if you enter into them, God will never disappoint you. He's always got something better. God is never outdone in anything. You will never make him an offering that is not returned 100-fold and more. We're not in heaven yet. But the joy of Easter can be a little taste, a down payment on a joy that will never end. I leave you with some words from John Chrysostom, the patron saint of preachers. Chrysostom means golden mouth. He was the most famous of preachers in our tradition. He says this, "We have finished with the duty of fasting. Let us now, however, not finish with the fruits of fasting, for we can put aside the obligation of fasting and yet gather its fruits. The weariness of the struggle has passed, but let the eagerness of doing what is right not leave us. The fast is ended. The service of God remains. But do not be afraid. I did not say this because I'm going to impose another Lent on you, but solely that you resolve with determination to pursue that Easter joy that will never end.